stories from around the corner
and around the country.
You're listening to All the Best.
Proudly supported by the Art Gallery of New South Wales.
You're listening to All the Best from FBI Radio 94.5. I'm Madhura Prakash. Before we get into this week's stories, I'd like to take a moment to acknowledge that I'm recording from stolen Gadigal land and pay my respect to Gadigal elders past and present, and also recognize that the area where FBI Radio is situated, Redfern, has long been a place of storytelling, strength, resistance and resilience for First Nations communities. This week, stories from the Black Snapper International Audio Competition. The Black Snapper International Film Festival is the first festival of its kind in Australia. This year, they're also hosting a landmark international student audio competition. The competition is dedicated to showcasing, fostering, and celebrating audio creations from young emerging creators. It aims to highlight the immense creativity of young storytellers on both local and global stages. All the Best are partnering with the team at Black Snapper to bring you a couple of stories that we believe are great examples of the art of audio storytelling. First is The Sounds of Silence. The Sounds of Silence is an audio documentary by Tu Fan Diu Lin, also known as Liz, focusing on the real-life experiences of war victims in Vietnam. The piece is an evocative soundscape that mixes history and memory in an act of defiance against media manipulation and the suppression of human voices in depictions of war.
Are you listening? We visit my uncle twice a year in the Martyr Cemetery. It's written here on his grave, Phan Trọng Anh, born 1966, died 1986. He wasn't even 20 years old when he died. When I was small, I had no idea why he died at that time. I thought the wars in Vietnam ended long ago. In school, we learned about so many wars and fights, but none of the history textbooks mention any war after 1975. But my uncle, he died in 1986. How? Why is that? How did I not know? Why did they purposely forget my uncle's death and my family's pain?
Không thể quên được.
I have to know, so I tried to look for answers. I found that in 1979, China invaded our land and captured border cities. They said that this was to stop Vietnam's occupation of Cambodia. After 12 long years of war and bloodbaths, both countries agreed to end the conflict in 1991. However, since the war took place between two close brotherly communist countries, Vietnam and China signed a treaty and agreed not to mention the sensitive event again. Therefore, Vietnam dictated that erasing the border war's memory and silencing its population will help normalize relations with China. Ever since, all commemoration efforts were deemed anti-state, and the topic of the border war is heavily suppressed, sometimes violently. Every year, on the anniversary of its outbreak, government authorities shut down any attempt at remembrance and acknowledgement of the war. As a result, many people have no idea that such a horrifying event happened in a seemingly peaceful period of time. The young pupils in schools and even adults don't care enough to know about it because this strategic silence has created the perpetuating notion that this war is unimportant, thus not worth remembering nor learning about. And just like that, the border war, along with those who were involved, keeps sinking deeper and deeper into oblivion.
Anche quello.
So, for some political reasons that I can hardly understand, we don't talk about this war. But that doesn't mean that it didn't happen. I know it did. I have my uncle and my family here as a witness. But maybe for others, this silence is blinding them from seeing the truth. What was there? Who was there? And just because the soldiers' sacrifices culminate in invisibility and silence, does that mean that their lives matter any less? And I wonder, if this silence can mute the victims' voices and blind people's eyes, can it also, perhaps, block their ears? Are you listening? I asked Mom to tell me about my uncle, and she said,
khi sinh ra cậu rất là bụ bẫm, đôi mắt to, tròn, sáng. Rồi mẹ nhớ những cái năm tháng đi khi mà đi học thì cậu học rất là xuất sắc. Bà ngoại hay ông ngoại đi họp phụ huynh thì về đều rất là phấn khởi, đều rất là tự hào về cậu. Cậu chỉ thích học đại học bách khoa thôi.
He was planning to get into the college of his dream, but then the war came.
Hỡi đồng bào và chiến sĩ yêu quý, hãy phát huy truyền thống tiên hồng, triệu người như một, nhất tề đứng lên bảo vệ tổ quốc.
They keep calling again and again because the war is there and people are already fighting and dying every day. So my uncle puts his dreams aside and he goes. My family comes to see him off. The whole scene is messy and chaotic. 18, 19-year-old boys are jammed together on a long line of army trucks. Their families gather below, hustling and pushing each other just to get a look at the soldiers' faces. The boys all look like deers in the headlights, my mom said. They don't know how to fight. They don't know what they were getting into.
Gọi cháu anh ơi, chị đây này, mẹ đây, bố đây, tất cả giơ tay thì mẹ nhớ là bố mẹ mắt đỏ hoe và các chị cũng khóc.
In the frantic crowd, my uncle smiles. He tells my great grandma,
cháu đi rồi cháu lại về, bà đừng khóc.
I'll be back. In every letter that he sends home, he says,
cháu đi rồi cháu lại về, bà đừng khóc.
I'll be back.
Cháu đi rồi cháu lại về, bà đừng khóc.
Some months later, my mom and my aunt travel 70 kilometers on a bicycle to visit uncle for the first time.
Nên là cậu chạy ra, cậu vui lắm.
He runs out to greet us. He's so happy.
Mẹ nhớ hình ảnh của cậu đi xuống con suối. Cậu đi, cậu cầm mấy cái bộ, cái những cái bát đũa mà vừa ăn xong, cậu xuống suối cậu rửa. Mẹ nhớ mãi hình ảnh đấy. Thế mẹ không ngờ đâu đấy là lần cuối cùng mẹ với dì được gặp cậu.
One night, my uncle and two friends lay down in a cave. They talk and share their future dreams. Suddenly, one soldier pulls out his gun and he starts firing furiously. The other friend runs away, but my uncle never makes it out. The bullets hit him 3 times. One on his leg, one on his stomach, and one on his head. He dies immediately on the spot.
Nothing is more confused than to be ordered into a war, to die or to be maimed for life, without the faintest idea of what's going on.
Later, my family found out that the soldier who shot my uncle was suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder because of gunshots. So he was very unstable. None of the soldiers were provided any training, and no one cares to check their health records before placing them in war zones and triggering situations.
Mà chết như thế thật là đau đớn và thật là oan ức, thậm chí mẹ nghĩ nó vô nghĩa quá.
It's meaningless.
Chết nó vô nghĩa.
It's meaningless.
Vô nghĩa.
Who is to blame then? My mom asked. Who is responsible for all this unfairness? Does his meaningless death, as mom said, really means nothing at all? And just because he didn't die while fighting a battle, does that make his death any less worth living for?
Nó vô nghĩa quá. Chết nó vô nghĩa. Vô nghĩa. Vô nghĩa.
So many lingering questions that may never be answered because the silencing of this war continues to shove the existence of the innocent soldiers and their families' pain into oblivion.
Không thể quên được.
Silence. But it's so loud. Can you hear it? Are you listening? The very first day of New Year 1989, my family heard the news.
Chắc đây chắn đấy là sự thật rồi. Xong bà gần như ngất đi khóc. Xong bà ngoại bảo sao lại như thế này, ai giả con cho tôi, mang con tôi về đây không được. Trọng Anh ơi, mẹ cứ nhớ mãi ông. Thì là người bố mà đỏ hoa mắt, mà thương lắm. Ông ở Trọng Anh ơi, sao con lại như thế?
My grandpa started drinking ever since. He drank so much that his mind is barely awake. Following my uncle's death, maybe a part of grandpa, too, is dead. The excessive drinking gave him throat cancer, and he passed away 10 years ago. Grandma is not doing any better. Some years after uncle's death, she was diagnosed with a brain tumor.
Giá như cậu còn sống thì bà ngoại là không bị bệnh, đấy là mẹ nghĩ thế.
Grandma went into surgery, and when she got out, she was paralyzed from the neck down. For 20 years, she sat in one place. She watched TV all day, and she needed a helper for all movements and activities. If she cries, she cannot even wipe her own tears. It is hard to understand Grandma's voice because her weak throat muscles made it extremely hard for her to speak. This year, she passed away because of COVID, and as I drowned in sadness, I thought, perhaps Grandma can walk normally now. Perhaps she has reunited with my uncle and grandpa. Perhaps, in another reality, they are all healed and they are happy now. Are you listening? You know about the sounds of war, gunshots, explosions, helicopters, and screaming people. But what about these sounds? Can you hear them? The muffled sounds of the TV that Grandma watches all day because this is her only form of entertainment. The sound of her distorted voice when she had to use all the muscles in her 30-kilogram body just to ask for a sip of water. The sounds of Grandpa's broken mandolin because this is the only escape from his clouded mind filled with alcohol and scars. Are you listening? What are these sounds then? Just because they're not the sounds of violence, are they not the sounds of war? Just because this war is forgotten, does that make these sounds any less important? Are they worth listening to? Are they worth knowing about? Are you listening to the sounds of silence? It's so loud. I keep looking for reasons behind the silence. I keep seeking for the truth. And as I start seeing them, I realize maybe it just doesn't matter. The politics, the history, victors, losers, who is the real hero and who is the villain. None of that matters anymore. Because one way or another, there will always be a hidden truth. What truly matters is behind the censorship and silence, there are real people suffering and struggling to live every day. There are meaningless deaths that are screaming to be heard. These are the true expensive costs of strategic silence. Are you listening? My uncle, my family, and all the other war victims, we just want to be heard so that our voices don't disappear into a meaningless void. We just need to feel that there is someone out there who's willing to listen, so our stories are not buried. We just want to be understood. We just want to be real humans.
Không thể quên được.
We can't forget.
Không thể quên được.
We cannot forget. At the end, there is always silence. But we are not deaf, nor blind, nor mute. It is my choice, and your choice too, to remove the blindfolds, the earplugs, and the tapes that cover our mouths, to let the light in, and to begin listening to the sounds of silence.
That story was produced by director, designer, and master student Tu Phan Dieu Linh. Come down to the Powerhouse Museum in Ultimo on Thursday, December 14 for Whispers, an interactive audio storytelling event exploring untold tales of 2023 by the team at All the Best. Happening from 7 to 9:30 p.m. as part of Powerhouse Late. It's a free event. Just register at powerhouse.com.au. For our second story, we're travelling back to Nigeria in the 1970s. Through a vivid collection of voiceovers and sounds, we join Salma as she recounts memories from her childhood.
So where we were was sort of out in the countryside, if you like. My father loved trees. I think that was perhaps from his time in his village in Egypt. And he planted, I don't know, maybe 200 trees all around the house. You know, we had a lot of Tuareg people and traders going past down the end of the garden on camels and donkeys going by and various cries of traders and things. We lived on Bayero University campus. There were a lot of expats as well as Nigerians living on the campus, all, you know, teaching at the university where my father taught. And my father used to spread out the mat on the veranda, and sometimes he would be playing Quran. Other times he'd be playing the Moonlight Sonata and lay the cushions out, and we would all have to go and lay on the veranda and look at the moon, because the moon was this unfiltered silver light that also I've never seen since I left, where everything was almost whitish. Me and my sister, often my mother, was she there? Sometimes she was, sometimes she'd go to her room and read. My father was quite he was quite strict about trying to inculcate us without interference, and we had all day with our mother, so he used to try and have us to himself in the evenings and teach us Arabic and Quran. And sometimes she was there, but mostly I remember it as, you know, my father and my sister and I. He used to get the torch on a moonlight night, and we walk around the campus, which was still had a lot of trees and wild growth and some wild dogs running around. The sky, because there were no street lighting, no street lamps yet, the sky was the most filled with stars I think I've ever seen in my entire life since then. I've never seen a sky like that, where it was more stars than sky. And falling stars. There are very heavy rains in Nigeria. Being inside the house, the rain thundering very loudly on the corrugated roof. I remember my cousin from Egypt came over to stay and to visit my father. And he was terrified of a storm one night. He was in one wing of the house and he was so scared of this sound of heavy rain on the corrugated roof of the house that he came rushing down the corridor to the living section of the villa. And my father used to stay up late at night working on his books and his manuscripts and things at 2 or 3 in the morning, and so he came rushing to sit with my father because he was, you know, quite scared being on his own. Whole British colonial presence was very much in my life through my father's stories and memories from what happened in Egypt whilst marrying also a British woman. I use a locket that my mother wore when she got married to my father that still has the picture of my father on one side. And on the other side, she isn't there anymore. And when I was a child, I used to look at this locket that she was still wearing and say, "Where are you, Mummy?" And Mummy used to say, "Well, I fell out." And we used to laugh about that. So I still, you know, have that kind of joke in my head and her laughing and saying she fell out of the locket.
That story was written and produced by Taqwa Sadiq, featuring Salma Ahmed Kala. Originally produced for Shortcuts, a Falling Tree production for BBC Radio 4. All the Best would like to acknowledge the traditional owners of the lands on which we make these stories and pay our respects to elders past and present. All the Best is made at FBI Radio on Gadigal land, in association with SIN and 3RRR on Wurundjeri Woiwurrung and Boonwurrung lands, and 8CCC on Arundi and Warramungu lands. The All the Best editorial manager is Mel Chun, and Phoebe Adler-Ryan is our production manager. Our social media producer is Isabella Lee. Patrick McKenzie is our community coordinator. Shining Bird composed our theme music, and Annie Hamilton designed the artwork. We're heard across Australia on the Community Radio Network, and were made possible by the Art Gallery of New South Wales and the Community Broadcasting Foundation. You can find our full archive of more than 500 episodes at allthebestradio.com. I'm Madhura Prakash. Thanks for listening.